I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of Sharing Socks. Once again, we take a look at things. I'm Lee Allen, the duty geezer at Southside Socks, wearing my hat backwards because that's still what I see is the direction of the franchise at the moment, with a certain person in the managerial seat. And with me are my son, West Coast correspondent, more optimistic, wearing his hat frontwards, Will Allen. And we've got a few things to talk about this week. I threw Tony out there. The La Russa court case is now shifted to apparently the proper court. And the next event will be December 28th. But it's interesting that that is a pre-trial conference. Usually, if you just switch to court, you would first have a preliminary hearing where he pleads. So I don't know. That may be a COVID thing, that they just did that virtually, or, you know, send in the paperwork. So apparently it's a not guilty plea, which is wonderful when you've made statements to the arresting officer about how you're a Hall of Fame baseball person. But that's where it stands right now. So things will be delayed pre-trial. That means it could be in the season by the time he has to take some time off to go be in court and go about it. Meanwhile, Miguel Cairo. You're a Miguel Cairo fan?
I mean, you know that I'm a Miguel Cairo fan. Miguel Cairo was on that Rays team we saw play the Yankees. We've mentioned on this podcast before.
Exactly. I looked up Miguel Cairo, who has been hired as the bench coach for the Sox and has been working as an infield, minor league infield coordinator for the Yankees, but has a fair amount of experience of coaching at various teams, the Yankees, the Reds, the last team he played for. And I look back, I said, I know I'm a Miguel Cairo fan, but I can't remember why. Because mostly he played for teams I hate. The other team in Chicago, the Yankees, the Cardinals. And then he also played for some kind of, you know, like the Mets and the Reds. Nobody that I'd really care about. But there are 9 teams altogether. Got some in there. But he was an original Tampa Bay Ray.
Sure.
And Devil Ray at that time. And we, in our brief time, when the Sox had Albert Bell and we're going, it's one thing to play root for a team that never wins anything. It's another for a team that's just junk attitudinally, because Big Frank was whining and all kinds of nasty things were going on that way. So we went down to Tampa Bay and we watched 4 games of the Rays against the Yankees, where they lost 4 games. I think only one of them closed. It was a 2-0, and the rest were kind of
right. Yeah.
But I looked up what Miguel Cairo did in that series, and I know why we became Miguel Cairo fans. He was 7-for-13.
I mean,
probably the best series of his life is a lifetime 260 hitter.
Probably, actually. I actually was a pretty big Miguel Cairo fan after that series, because he was the one beacon of light in that dreadful, dreadful Tampa Bay team. And then he was with the Reds, and, you know, we're not anti-Reds in our household, being from Kentucky, Southern Ohio. So we got to watch him play there more. And I, you know, he's not a great player, but he was pretty dependable as like a guy you would need to come in, eat up some innings. He's sort of the ultimate utility man.
Played everywhere. He's got really kind of like Eury Garcia.
Absolutely.
And he played even some. He's mainly a second baseman, but he played all the infield positions. He played corner outfields, a lot of those things. So I can see why being an infield coordinator in a minor league system would be great. Interesting that he comes as a bench coach. Presumably these are knowledgeable teams that hired him for these positions, so he must be a pretty bright guy. So we'll see.
Well, I have to assume. I've read a bunch of takes on the Miguel Cairo hiring, and one I particularly agree with is that you know, he's a journeyman and he's always been incredibly respected by his teammates. And that's always a good sign for someone to have been constantly learning throughout their career. And I think that is what potentially can make Miguel Cairo a very valuable coach. I mean, he's been around the league for so long now, and he's been playing. He's played with a lot of really great players. He's played with a lot of really bad players, too, because he's played with pretty much every player. yeah. But that
well, 17 years.
I like this hire. I think it's a cool hire. I think it's a far more interesting hire than La Russa, of course. And I expect good things. I think he's a good guy to have talking to Moncada, talking to Tim Anderson, and I think he's going to fit in well with the team. He's known for his, you know, sort of great attitude. And I think that is going to go a long way with this team because they are a team of attitude.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's interesting. So he's hired Ethan Katz, I think. Something of a gamble, not that experienced, but we know wonders that he did with Giolito. And I've been saying for a long time, particularly with Dylan Cease, Dylan Cease needs to go talk to Giolito's high school coach because nobody in this White Sox system is doing anything for him. So now he gets a chance to do that. So maybe we see a sudden blossoming of people like Cease, possibly even Lopez.
Well, you know that I'm still a huge believer in shut down Cease. That's what I call him. I'm the only person who calls him that. And I actually think that hire is fantastic. I think it is going to change. It's going to just change the culture around Chicago White Sox pitching. And I know Dallas Keuchel's got to be excited about it too. Giolito's obviously got to be on cloud nine about this. But this guy does have a proven record of working wonders with young pitchers. And he's going to play the game, you know, forward thinking, future forward. And I fully believe this is the right guy to start getting great stuff out of Cease and out of Dunning. Again, Lopez, I don't know. But depends on the day.
Rodon,
if he can ever be healthy. But he is the type of pitching coach that if Rodon can stay healthy, he could be the kind of guy who really figures out what's going on with Rodon and what's going to make him, you know, more constant, more reliable. Cooper was not going to be that guy. So I think this is a great hire. I really do. I love both these hires of Cairo and Katz.
I think we're in agreement on that. And we are talking about pitchers. And an interesting thing came up in the news on the pitching front this week, which is that the Rays, we've been talking about them, have indicated that Blake Snell is available. They're not pushing him, but they're suggesting that he could be available. He's getting into the big bucks now, which is historic Tampa Bay. They bring a guy along, they make him be really good, and as soon as he starts making money, they send him off, which some people think is a horrible thing to do. I don't see it. I mean, he's going to make those big bucks somewhere.
This is not a surprise to me in any way, shape, or form, especially after they pulled him in that game. You knew that Snell was not going to be happy, and this is what the Rays do. I mean, he's what, 37 or something like that? Is that true? Or no, that's Charlie Morton who's 37. One of them,
Snell's like 20,
one of them
20,
is 37. Mid-20s. Is Snell younger? How old is Blake Snell?
He's younger than you. I know that.
Okay. One of them, I'm going to – you talk for a second. I'm going to find out the ages of Ray's pitchers real quick.
Okay.
Okay, Blake Snell's only 27.
Okay.
That 27 changes my opinion on this.
Absolute prime for a pitcher.
Charlie Morton is 37.
Yeah. This is a case
who just got $15 million. Charlie Morton just signed $15 million contract with Atlanta, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the pitchers are going. I mean, we had the $11 million Drew Smyly. Now we have Morton going. at a fairly advanced age.
For only 1 year, $15
million. So this is not, you look at what's happening on the market of pitchers, of free agents. Obviously, there's Trevor Bauer and a bunch of other guys, particularly with Marcus Stroman off the market now. White Sox aren't going to get Bauer. If we do, I will be astonished, because the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox and that other team in Chicago, the guys with the humongous bucks, are going to get Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer is already a Dodger. I mean, he's as good as a Dodger already, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when you look at the other starting pitchers, there's some fairly good guys, certainly worth trying to pick up. But nobody where you know, Tanaka, for example, is pretty good. But there's nobody you go, wow, we got him. But Blake Snell is a game changer. And I don't mean just that one game in the World Series, which may have been as well pitched as any game I've ever seen. He's a Cy Young winner. He's a star, and he's just incredible. So the question is, and maybe we should, if you want to do the break thing, we can come back, because everybody's going to want him. 29 teams are going to be interested in trading for Blake Snell. I've read that maybe the Mariners would have the inside track, because first of all, they trade with Tampa Bay a lot, and secondly, he's from Seattle, so he would get to go.
Well, what do the Mariners have? Are they going to give up Kyle Lewis? I mean,
yeah. So what do the Mariners have? Very little. The Sox, obviously. What we'll get is take the break, and we'll come back when we start to really.
All
get
right.
Into this.
When we come back, we'll be back in just a second. And when we do, we are going to dive into this potentially interesting trade scenario. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about potentially what could happen in a world where we are trading for Blake Snell.
And what do we have to offer that other teams might not? Now, I looked at – there have been a couple of the prospect lists come out, or farm system evaluations come out. Not the prospect list so much, but the evaluations. And the White Sox now are kind of middling. We were number one right after dumping – superstars for prospects, but those prospects are, for the most part, are in the majors now. Mm-hmm. And even with Michael Kopech, for example, still listed as a prospect, not as a major leaguer, and some of the other guys we have to Nick Madrigal, I think was in there, and Crochet was in that list, even though he's pitched in the majors some.
Yeah.
So really, we don't have a heck of a lot left in the farm system anymore. Excuse me. But we have some things of value, and we know what Tampa Bay wants is really cheap people that they can keep for 3 years until arbitration comes around and get good use out of them. And they're brilliant at developing pitchers in particular, but players in general. So we'd have to be, what do we have? Wouldn't be any of our stars, because they wouldn't pay them. What do we have of people who aren't getting paid anything yet? Well, anything by your and my standards, but by baseball standards, guys who are at the minimum are close to it. And we've got a few guys there that would fit into what the Rays might be looking for.
Well, anybody that can hit would fit into what the Rays are looking for because they don't have anyone that hits.
Particularly, they are a strikeout or home run team. Well, that's not true. They don't strike out a lot. They are a home run or nothing. They walk a lot, which makes them an average or slightly better than average team. They don't hit at all. I think the team batting average is .238. I
mean, yeah,
they can terrible. Pull guys off the street and hit that. But they got sluggers. And now Randy Arozarena is in big legal trouble in Mexico. They may need even more help in the outfield. But what they need, I would say, is guys who get on base so that the sluggers have somebody to drive in. They totally lack that.
And what does all that circle back to? Billy Bean. That's what the Rays do. They're playing Moneyball, and they need guys to get on base so that someone can hit them in.
That was the whole key of Moneyball was on base percentage.
That's all it was. Yeah.
And we've got one thing. I mean, when people look at what are the White Sox going to do for next year? We got to fill this in. We got to fill that in. Andrew Vaughn keeps coming up. Because he's a star of the future, theoretically, who gets on base a lot, does not strike out much, follows that profile that they really like, takes a walk, I mean, that's his whole reputation there, and has no place to go with the White Sox. He could come up and be the designated hitter and fill in occasionally for Jose Abreu at first, but he really doesn't have a position. And he's a right-handed hitter on a team that's desperately in need of left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
So I think Vaughn could be a core. And if you really, and I don't know how we fill in after this, you then go to, and I would go this far for Blake Snell, because I think Blake Snell puts you over the top for the White Sox. I could see Vaughn and Madrigal.
Well,
that's a huge package, but
there's not going to be a small package. I mean, I feel like your options are something like Vaughn and Madrigal or Luis Robert, you know, and obviously you're not going to trade Robert. I think he's the one guy Tampa would take that deal because if Luis Robert ends up being what we think he's going to be, that deal is a bargain. It is cheap for a superstar. That being said, they're probably, you know, they don't want to be spending that money. But if we came up and said, we'll give you Luis Robert, the deal's done today.
Well, I think anybody would do that deal for a lot of
people. Exactly. My concern is that they're not going to want any deal that doesn't include him.
I don't think they pay him. They just don't pay people.
It's not that bad of a contract, though. It is. I get it. The Rays don't take bad contracts. That's their thing. But it's really not. I mean, it's a cheap contract. If this guy ends up being Mike Trout, that's the best contract in all of baseball. So, yeah, I think.
I don't think that's a possibility.
No.
I don't think the Sox would ever let him go.
No way. But I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, like, oh, let's get him. And Steve Stone saying, like, well, they might ask for Luis Robert. So I think your idea of Madrigal and Vaughn is closer to reality of what could actually happen. I don't support this idea unless we go get Yomer back to play second base.
Well, I think you'd end up with Mendick as your second baseman. Who?
Golden Glove finalist.
Yeah. Who did pretty well. I think also they probably would want somebody who could fill a starting pitching role. So it obviously wouldn't be one of our lead pitchers, but we've got a lot of guys who are possible starting pitchers, especially in a system like theirs where you never face anybody the third time and all those other kind of rules that they go through.
Yeah.
I mean, we mentioned Dylan Cease earlier on totally different sense. Throw Cease in there. I mean, it's...
Well, I think he definitely will be. If this does become a thing and they are doing a deal and it involves Madrigal and Vaughn, I think Cease or Dunning will also be in that package. And it's a lot. It's a lot to give up, especially with Vaughn's ceiling and Madrigal's ceiling. As you know, like, Madrigal has had his ups and downs, but, you know, the guy is making contact every single bat.
I'm a huge Madrigal fan, and I know he had base running mistakes that I think are purely not being used to the speed of what happens in the major leagues, and that will not happen again.
Yeah.
And he had fielding mistakes. Again, I think many of them the same way. He was rushing things that didn't need to be rushed.
Yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah, he's nervous.
I think because his whole life he's been an awesome fielder, so I think that's coming back. So I think those eras are over, and I become a huge Madrigal fan. In batting ninth, great place for him to be on ahead of Tim Anderson and the muscle guys. High, and great clutch hitter, so forth. I'd give up Vaughn definitely before Madrigal. I think my first offer would be, well, give me Vaughn and Cease and Stever or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Adolfo, whatever. Unfortunately, theoretically, we had these great infielders, great outfielders coming through us. Oh, God, we're overloaded with outfielders coming through our system. They're all going to be terrific. We'll have to trade bait. And with the exception of Robert, they've all stunk.
Yeah.
Either for injury reasons or just they're not proving to be very good. But anyhow, we've got outfielders to give. Rosa Randa's really in trouble. They're going to be in serious need of outfielders. I think Kiermaier is leaving, or I don't know if he's a free agent or they put him on a trade block. So they need somebody who can handle center. That brings up, I don't think that we're highly paying our backup center fielder. Again, I'm a big fan of his, but you know, if he was be tossed in there, it wouldn't be horrible.
Yeah. So it looks like Kiermaier is under control till 2022. He's very inexpensive. Well, he's not that inexpensive. I thought he was inexpensive, but he's really not. He made $10 million last year. That doesn't seem good enough for me. But yeah, I'm just not sure how to make this package happen without sort of conceding on a lot of these guys that we've just been so excited about for years. I realize that this is the type of move to make to become a championship competitor. And seeing as we definitely don't have anyone close to Blake Snell's abilities coming up through the system right now, even if this new pitching coach move Cease and Dunning forward quite a bit, they're not going to be Blake Snell next year. So this is
neither will Crochet. Crochet's at least a couple years away and probably a reliever next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think if we were going to give up a lot in terms of players or money, I would rather give it up for Blake Snell than I would for George Springer. Or, you know, signing one of the hugely overpriced free agents that are bound to sign ridiculous contracts for some reason this offseason. I would much rather go after Blake Snell than anyone else that's currently available via trade or free agency. But that price tag, I mean, we're talking a very high price tag right now, and I think the real one's going to be higher.
Oh, yeah, you obviously have no idea now what other teams are going to stick out there. Everybody, even the Dodgers, are desperate for starting pitchers. The Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game in the World Series, and they're the best team in baseball by far.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but the Dodgers we actually have a better scenario for a trade. The Dodgers, of course, could sign him over us any day if he was a free agent, but you know, we've got, unless the Dodgers are going to give up some of their current stars, and you know, the problem with the Dodgers getting someone like Blake Snell is everyone the Dodgers gets paid $1 trillion. So the Rays are going to have a tough time. The Dodgers could give up some of their young guys, but their young guys aren't nearly as exciting as ours. you know, the Dodgers stars are stars. It's Mookie and it's Cody Bellinger and it's Corey Seager and Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler. You know, it's bona fide stars that the Rays don't really save any money on if they trade for those guys. The White Sox have a very interesting assortment of guys who don't cost anything. So I would actually put us sort of at the front of the pack in teams that the Rays might be interested in trading Snell. But again, I worry that that price could just get too high. So I'm going to say what I think our trade for Snell should be.
Okay.
It should be $75 million cash money and Tony La Russa. And we pay.
Well, I think what they'll come back with is we'll take $50 million or $75 million and La Russa.
No, they won't even take La Russa. They'll be like, we'll take $10 million, but you have to keep La Russa. Ah, no, dang it, that wasn't the deal.
I think one weakness we would have when you look at where, I mean, they have a general offensive weakness, but their catching is really pretty weak. Especially offensively, but even defensively, it's not great. We don't have anything to offer. I mean, McCann's gone, and our catches in our system. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do for a backup catcher. Heaven help us with Zach Collins.
Yeah, I have no idea on the catcher front at this point what's going to happen there. I guess let's hope Grandal's willing to go 162 next year. And no one's picking.
And you know, we did take the option on Leury, and I think he was at one time the emergency catcher. So.
And Craig Biggio's on the market still. You know, he started as a catcher. He's 50, but you know, whatever, be all right. Yeah, it's certainly going to be the most interesting thing to happen over the next few weeks is this Blake Snell scenario, especially now that I have his age correct and not mixed up with Charlie Morton. I knew one of them was, like, surprisingly old. I probably should have gone with the guy that I've been watching play for 17 years. But, yeah, I mean, at 27, Blake Snell is prime, 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 prime.
Then, you know, with any pitcher, you have the danger that you give away half your farm system and he blows out his elbow. But that's just a chance to take.
But and that's like the chance every championship team on earth takes, you know, either with money or with trade bait. Like when the big teams sign these huge free agents, they're taking that chance. They can just afford to lose $100 million more than the White Sox can. Yeah, I definitely think the White Sox are the team that could end up with them. But if Snell got hurt, you are talking about some dark days ahead. You are talking about potentially taking this rebuild and turning it into a rebuild. And that is not very exciting. That being said, if Snell is healthy, you are absolutely a World Series contender in 2021.
Absolutely. Just no question about it. Meanwhile, I think we are probably out of time here and should wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we got to start prepping all those meals, all that delicious turkey and potatoes. We're doing lasagna out here on the West Coast.
And dim sum here in Chicago.
Hollywood idiots we are. And Chicago, you know, the LA of the Midwest also. Having dim sum, we're crazy.
Hey, a Molly's cupcake cake though.
That sounds delicious. Yeah.
Talk about your Chicago institution.
Just urge everybody out there, be as safe as you possibly can. Whether you believe in the virus or not, it is real, and it will get you. So be very safe. Keep your family safe. I want everybody to be able to come back and talk about the White Sox. In a few weeks. So we'll see you next time. Have a happy holidays. Anything else from the geezer?
No, that'll do.
All right. See you next time.